The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 875. It's the 18th of September 2017. On the podcast today, I have Neil Carson, CEO of i3 Energy, that's i3e, and Neil talks about progress at Liberator, their North Sea asset. Also on the podcast, Marcel Nodeloos, CFO of Veltyco, that's VLTY, and Veltyco is an online marketing company for the gaming industry, and Marcel explains their strategy and goes through some of the highlights from their interim results. Plus, Malki, as is a Monday, Oil and Gas Sector Authority, talks about Hurricane Energy, Frontier Resources, Echo Energy, STX Energy, and Jersey Oil and Gas. And as always, I have the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs, released this morning too.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Neil Carson, CEO of i3 Energy, and ticker there is i3e. Neil, thanks for joining me.
Hey, it's a pleasure, Justin. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. It's good to get you on. Like I said, I've had a few people hit me up on social media saying, get these guys on. Very interesting projects they've got going on. So it's nice to have you on. But for people not aware, Neil, of what you're all about, explain what i3 Energy is about, please.
So we're this is our third time doing this, meaning that we've created a new company in the North Sea. We have 10 million barrels of oil, and it's a development project that's extremely mature and ready, and we expect to have it on production in 2018 as soon as we can. So i3 is our third time doing this, and it's a North Sea company. And really, we're really excited about the project because it's so kind of ready and so catalyst-rich.
Yeah, well, exactly. You say you're in the North Sea. First of all, why the North Sea? And why have you come back for the third time?
Well, it's part of our DNA. We say professionally we grew up in the North Sea. Mm-hmm. It's a great place to be for small companies. It's got large and small. We've got a lot of changes happening. It's a way that we can access and acquire really quite interesting volumes of oils, you know, significantly large for companies of our size. Mm-hmm. So, for example, that 10 million barrels that we have, and we do see it going on to 16 by drilling two wells. But that's, for our size, is really, really quite significant. So to be able to do in the North Sea, for us to be able to access those barrels is really, really quite, it's quite world-class reservoirs. We could drill great wells that produce great rates. So fiscally, it's very, very good. We are based in Aberdeen. So like I said, part of our DNA is being there right in the kind of in the operations. That's why, you know, our project that's ready, we've been able to get it ready sort of quickly. So 2018 is a very, you know, it's a very good, reliable date for us, and there's, you know, a strong sense of delivery in this company.
Yeah, okay. Before we go into the specifics of your asset there, I mean, the North Sea has been questioned quite a few times, especially since the oil price took a hit a while back. But what do you see as the future for the North Sea, Neil?
Well, I think it depends where you are. You know, we say these are rifle shots. In other words, these are very, you know, our projects are the right size to us. They're not the ones that are very, very large and are very expensive. This is a lower capital to get wells drilled and to bring that production on really quite quickly. So it depends where you are in the North Sea. So we believe, in the right place with just a great project. The project's called Liberator. Mm-hmm. It's an oil field, and it's right beside very, very good infrastructure. So there's a lot of other oil and gas platforms that you can tie these satellites back to. So we don't have to invest in those, but what we can do is really benefit by bringing our oil across that infrastructure that's ran by others and ran extremely efficiently.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you mentioned that your main asset is Liberator, and you did mention just then that 10 billion barrels of oil. Tell us more about this, what you know about the Liberator, please, Neil.
Well, we're within kilometers of other very large fields. We have a oil in a reservoir that's highly productive. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of 20 years of production history right next door. It's a satellite that we own 100%, and we're the operator. We've got a field development plan that gets two wells drilled in 2018, and that gets us between 7,000 to 10,000 barrels of oil per day, which is quite significant for our size of company. So it's a great project. It's recognized in the industry as a very low risk, low capital required to do it. We like the idea. There's a lot of production history right next door. It's the fact that it's oil, and it's in a great location. So we're very excited. Got great plans. We're maturing. We've been telling the markets about how we've been getting the site ready. And there is a shortage of projects available and ready in the North Sea. So, we're excited about that. That's something we've been pushing on. And so 2018 first oil is really quite a reality for us.
Yeah, so you say 2018, we are in the almost heading towards now the final quarter of 2017, so it's not far off. I mean, do you know in what part of 2018 you're heading for first oil?
We would like to commence our operations between March, but the earliest, and then to get it first oil by the late summer.
Okay.
So that's... that's really quite quick in terms of our operations. But so we're excited about that. It's extremely ready. We've been putting out details about getting that site ready. So we're getting down to the high state of readiness here.
So that's not far off. So do you know what kind of production levels you're looking at and what's the potential here?
We do. We know that one well can produce over 7,000 barrels. We have aspirations to get two and to drill those pretty closely together. And just to give you an idea, that recovers about 10 million barrels going on to 16 million barrels. Mm-hmm. And to give you an idea of what kind of value is attributed to that, we have experts that have confirmed that it's $250 million for 10 million barrels of oil recovered. So that's that's exciting. We have a project that, today's Brent price is sitting there at 55. So, we know that we can produce oil as low as, about $20 a barrel. So that means the margins are pretty good. And, the flow rates plus great, our barrels and a great plan behind it, that's exciting. That means we're a high growth company.
Yeah, especially when you consider right now you are sub 10 million market cap. There's obviously room there, a lot of room for upside potential. Excellent, Neil. Well, listen, if someone is listening to this right now and they like the sound of this and the fact you're coming into, first oil or producing oil in 2018, not far off, could you give them three reasons, if they aren't already following you, why they should hit that follow button on your page on Vox Markets, please?
Yeah, well, we're high growth, very ready, relatively short term. I'd say quite catalyst rich. We've got lots of news items to come out here in terms of a field development plan, getting our equipment into the operational arena, and getting first oil. So high growth, very ready, catalyst rich, and also we have a great board behind us. So we got, if you look at our website, you'll see. We've got great experience, a lot of people who've grown up professionally in the North Sea, who've ran large and small companies. And this board has, a vision to be really one of the exciting development plays in the North Sea. So those are the three things I'd say.
Excellent stuff. And just for people sort of getting an interest in the story now, what's the next bit of news they can expect from you guys?
So we're on the field development plan approval, so that's the key piece that we need. Mm-hmm. So we expect that to happen shortly, and that increasing readiness. Also signing up to the supply chains, so the equipment that we've already sourced to come into the arena, and starting the operations in our Liberator development.
Excellent. Well, it sounds like you've got a busy several months ahead of you, Neil, so hopefully we'll chat again in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Look forward to it. Thanks, Justin. Bye now.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Marcel Nodeloos, CFO of Veltico. Ticker there is VLTY. Marcel, thanks for joining me.
Well, thank you for calling me.
That's no problem. Now, listen, there's a couple of people out there probably not aware of your company. Can you give a brief summary as to what you're all about, please, Marcel?
Of course. Veltico is a group of companies focused on marketing and player acquisition of various brands in the gaming industry. We have sportsbook, casino, options trading, lottery. We have a number of exclusive contracts with operators, and we do the marketing for those operators. We receive a lifetime revenue share on the proceeds of the of the players, and basically, yeah, that maybe we can cut this. Sorry.
Okay, go on. Do you mean to start
can
again?
We just start over? Can
yeah,
we
yeah,
start
yeah,
over?
Yeah, yeah, no problem. Start
sorry,
again.
Sorry.
No worries. I mean, don't listen. Just keep it simple. Don't go into detail. I'll ask you about how you achieve revenue.
Okay.
That's
okay,
fine.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
Okay. Good. Okay. I will keep it short then.
Cool. And joining me on the podcast right now is Marcel Nordelus, CFO of Veltyco. That's VLTY ticker. Marcel, thanks for joining me.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
That's no problem. I've got to say, your company is new to me. I'm also an investor in companies, and I like to hear about all new companies. So for me and for other people who have not heard of your company, Marcel, can you give a brief summary as to what it's all about, please?
Yeah, of course. Veltyco is a group of companies, and we're focused on player acquisition and of in various industries in the gaming industry. So if you look at sportsbook, casino, option trading, lottery, and we have a number of exclusive contracts with operators, mm-hmm. And we receive a lifetime revenue share on the results of those players.
Interesting. So you don't actually operate yourself. You market for people, but get revenue a revenue share on the base of the success of those games. Is that right?
Exactly. I mean, so we are totally the operations are done by third parties, mm-hmm. Existing brands, and we just drive marketing. We are very good in the online marketing and branding of the various brands, driving traffic and players to those platforms.
Yeah, do you know what? Immediately, I'm very intrigued by this because obviously gaming is a very big industry, very hot at the moment. But of course, we all know that it's hard to have lots of hits on games one after another. So if you are an operator, a gaming company that has a game and you have a big hit, you have to produce another big hit. And that's quite hard. But so you've got less risk, really, haven't you? Because all you have to do is market games and you get a revenue share. So that's, you spread your risk quite nicely, don't you, I suppose?
You're completely right, and we have a number of brands. And if you look at the sportsbook and casino side of business, we have two brands, BetSafe in certain territories, and we have just acquired a majority stake in Bet90, also a sportsbook and casino platform. Mm-hmm. In the option trading, we have two brands, Option88 and Zoom Trader, and we have one brand in lottery. So it's a good spread in a number of industries. All gaming related, and that gives us a good spread in revenue.
Yeah. Okay. Well, listen. You recently announced your interim results. Currently, for people who are not aware, you're at 96 pence a share. As I talk, you're about 70, just over 70 million market cap. So, take us through some of the highlights from your interim results for the 6 months, please, if you could, Marcel.
Of course, we have completed a listing, a reverse merger process last year in June. Mm-hmm. And at that time, added a number of brands to the portfolio, and that's why you see the revenue first half last year, 2 million, basically growing to 4 million in the second half of 2016, mm-hmm. and growing to 6 million in the first half of this year, and that has to do with building player databases. So it's a lot of marketing efforts. But in all brands, you're building a database. And because we have this revenue share lifetime, it's adding players to the database and then benefiting off the existing database. And that is increasing revenue.
Yeah, and there's some triple-digit gains there. EBITDA for the first 6 months increased 410% to 3.8 million euros. That's quite impressive, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, and that also has to do with the marketing spend. If you look at marketing spend as a percentage of revenue, you see a decrease from 44% in full year 16, which obviously had to do with building the brands. A lot of new contracts, so building the brands always takes marketing spend. But you see that 44% decreasing to 28% in the first 6 months of this year as a percentage of revenue. And that's where you see the benefit of the lifetime value of players.
Yeah. So you take stakes, do you, in these companies? Is that how it works?
No, we have marketing agreements. These are exclusive.
Yeah.
So that does allow us to also do branding of those brands. We did have an acquisition in in April, which we actually completed in June of Bet 90, mm-hmm. where we actually take a 51% stake in an operation. Yeah. So that's one exception to the others, where we actually have a bit more responsibility on the operator side as well. Although the brand itself, it runs on an SBTech platform. So the back end of the platform is completely outsourced.
Yeah, yeah. And as far as this, you know, sector is concerned, I mean, do you see it getting better? And do you see, you know, your participation in that, obviously, getting bigger and better as well?
Well, that depends. I mean, that can go both ways. I mean, the current agreements that we have with operators are good. In some cases, it's beneficial to actually own a bit of the operation and get a shareholding in these operations. Mm-hmm. But it depends on the situation.
Yes, but give us an example. So, what's the difference between why would you take a stake in a company and why would you not take a share or stake in another company?
Well, I mean, just to put it simple, I mean, we have an agreement with Betsafe, which is a listed entity themselves. They have a number of brands in the Betsson Group. It's for us no option. I mean, we have the marketing agreement there, which has been active since 2012. And Bet90, for example, is our own. So that's and that gives us the opportunity to expand into territories that we not cover with the Betsafe brand.
I see. Okay. And these growth figures in your interim is quite impressive. And going forward, are you still seeing good growth?
We think we can grow. Although I mean the pace that we showed in the last year is obviously very very strong. We believe that we can grow. There is a current market expectation of 12.5 to 13 million for the full year result, which we are happy with. Basically doubling the revenue for the first 6 months, mm-hmm. With also a healthy bottom line EBITDA number.
Excellent stuff. Well, Marcel, listen, if someone's listening to this and like the sound of your business model and the sector you're operating in, but they're not following you yet on Vox Markets, could you give them three reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page, please?
Well, I think, first of all, we have a very lean and mean structure with marketing agreements, building databases of players, and have a lifetime revenue share out of those players. Second of all, I mean, we have a growth strategy, both organic as well as by acquisition, as we showed, I think, in the last year since the listing. We've done three acquisitions already. Mm-hmm. Third, we have a great affiliate network to do the marketing, and that's shown in the results. And maybe as a fourth item, even just look at the last 15 months of share price development. It basically comes from 20p at the start of the introduction to, as you mentioned, the 96 today.
Yeah, excellent stuff. Marcel, it's good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll chat again in the not-too-distant future. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Oil and Gas Sector Authority. It's Malky. You all right, fella?
Yeah, very well, thanks, Justin. Yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. I'm expecting to see a bit more liquidity because, of course, it was St. Ledger Day, wasn't it, on Saturday?
Yeah, I wrote about it in the blog because a lot of people say, you know, sell in May and go away and don't come back till St. Ledger Day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think, you know, it's a strict rule to follow, but it's worth knowing about, I think, because, you know, even because the fact that it's sort of endured this long, it just says to me there's a ring of truth. Like most cliches and sayings that endure, there's a ring of truth to it, isn't there, I think, and even psychologically, you know?
Yeah, and the other thing is it's a bit like the, you know, the October when the crash happened. You know,
yeah.
People are always nervous about that because of the... When the crash was on, you know, and mm-hmm. but you know, yeah, it's endured for good reason, and yeah. Some people feel that if you sell by the end of May, that the summer months markets will drift.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, what are we looking at today, Malky?
Well, I've got five stocks to look at today, and I'm starting off with Hurricane. Then I'm going to do Frontera, Echo, SDX, and Jersey Oil and Gas.
I've got to say, I did pick up some Hurricane. I've got to say, for the interest transparency, I bought some. I just thought at that level, at 27p, 27.5p I bought, I think. I thought at that level with, you know, the raising at 32p, and just the amount of, you know, the amount of assets and prospects they have, phenomenal. And like I said, First Oil, what, in 2019, and just the fundamentals just stack up so well against the share price, I thought, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I mean, what Harrick announced last week was the long-awaited final investment decision for their Lancaster EPS, early production system, which, as you say, will be and still is on target for first oil in the first half of 2019. Mm-hmm. And a load of people have been waiting for various announcements. So this announcement covered a lot of ground because their FPSO, which is called the Aoka Mizu, is now on tow to Dubai, where it's going to go into dry dock and have some upgrades done. So that'll be ready for going onto the site, ready for that first half of 2019. But also they've announced a rig contract with Transocean, and that's for the EPS production wells. That's for wells which have already been drilled, but now going to be prepared for to be producers. The fabrication orders have gone in with Technic FMC for the SURF and SPS downhole kit. So, you know, no worries about that. And, you know, as you say, I mean, this stock is fully funded now to first oil. The EPS is only the first stage of the full field development. I reckon that they've got, I mean, you know, that they've got a billion, I reckon could be nearer 2 billion barrels of oil to develop. And long term, the valuation of this is well in excess of current levels. Yeah. I put my valuation last week out at, or target price out at 100p for the long term. The difficulty is in the short term, Justin, is that there are a lot of punters who were hit hard by not just the raise, but before that, the warrant issue. And I think, you know, everyone's prepared to accept that that was a mistake. So the big raise was done at the lower price than people expected. But they've raised to $500 million now. They are, in case people have been worrying, they're now going ahead with everything. That once you've ordered all this kit, you can't backtrack. It's all being done seasonally, so a lot of the, you know, the big work will be done over the winter and then taken onto site next summer. So we'll be able to see it all happening. I can understand that there's indigestion post such a big raise, and that some people are shorter term than others. But I do feel that, like you said, when they got down to 27, I think they're 29 now. Mm-hmm. You know, it ain't going to race away anywhere, but it is an absolute pot of value.
Yeah, yeah. Well, do you know, I wrote this at 27.5p, I mean, a paragraph in the blog says, currently Hurricane's market cap is $540 million, and yet they raise $520 million, which is $390 million around pounds, at 32. So excluding cash, their assets, which include Britain's largest undeveloped oil fields, are valued at $150 million. That's it. This is not far off the profit they'll earn on Lancaster for 1 year. Almost.
It's ridiculous. Anyway, and don't forget, they still own 100% of this. And, yeah, and people have been concerned about the fact that they haven't been doing a farm out. I mean, the data room has been open. A lot of people are very interested. But this company is more than happy and can and wants to take it all the way through to EPS before there's any question of necessarily farming it out. And, you know, they're happy to do so. They will, of course, farm it out in due course, because they've always said that they didn't want to develop the full field development. But the EPS thing is no way a full field development.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, marvellous. It's Hurricane. Worth a look, worth doing some research on. Okay, what's next, Malky?
Well, I met with Frontera, FRR, Zaza, unpronounceable surname, yeah, is the CEO. You know, I met with these guys on the phone a few months ago when Steve was the chairman, was still in charge. This guy is now very much in charge, and he's an extremely impressive bloke. And so I did some homework on Frontera for not the first time, but I reacquainted myself with what they've got. And it's the most interesting story, and I think that there are a number of people out there who've been looking at it. It, too, is a significant pot of value, because what we've got here is a play which is in Georgia. It's adjacent to the Caspian Sea, the offshore development, which is one of BP's biggest plays. And there are huge discoveries all around. There is infrastructure which takes pipelines of oil and gas all the way through to the ever demanding markets of Turkey and the Eastern Mediterranean. So, you know, all the infrastructure is there. Netherlands Sewell, who are one of the best CPR merchants in the business, have said that they've got 10.2 billion barrels of oil, of which 1.7 is recoverable, and the best part of 12.9 TCF of gas, quite a lot of which is recoverable. And the point is here is that they've been drilling a well in their oil field and producing from it, but only from one section, one small section. I think that was 33 metres of pay. And there are something like 25 different sections which they could go to. And in this day and age, they can now drill more efficiently, more cheaply. And I would think they've got every chance of getting a lot more oil out of that. Now, the company isn't, let's say, not that well funded. It's just, it runs on the, you know, it is perfectly capable of running on the amount of money from the oil that it produces. So it's no problem on that front. But I would imagine that they'll be doing a raise at some stage because, you know, any further money into this this area will be extremely it'll be a successful move from not just increasing the exploration but developing the prospect, and therefore, you know, I think that in the longer term there's a huge amount of value here. In fact, I'd be surprised if there weren't one or two people looking at at least taking a stake in Frontera, because if it were me and I was one of those people who wanted to make sure that I had some production with a really decent upside, I would say, you know, why don't you take a 20% stake in Frontera and play it that way. Give it, you know, carry it for some work onshore Georgia. It's onshore, it's not very expensive. They've already got a well which is drilling. Most interesting little opportunity to have a look at, Justin.
Yeah, well, I did chat to Zaza Mamrilashvili, and I had to ask about, I had to pronounce his name about four times before he did it, so yeah, it's not easy. Yeah, it's very interesting, and it's rallied strongly of late. I mean, people were catching on to the potential there, I think, and had one day, I think it was up like 75 or 95% on one day, so...
I wrote about it last week and I got an amazing amount of feedback through Twitter and through the blog. And so there are obviously people, and I think the people that have been in the here for quite a long time, they've got a big portfolio of stuff. This is not the only thing they've got, but they're sensibly concentrating on this one area at the moment, or two potential areas. I get the impression there are quite a lot of people who've been in it for a long time and nothing much has happened. And now that this guy has come on the case and is actually taking the sort of bull by the horns, as it were, I think an opportunity to deliver some goods here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, what's says Frontera, FRR, what's next, Marky?
Yeah, just have a quick run through, because Echo Energy announced a couple of things last week. Firstly, they announced a Bolivia country chief, which is extremely good, highly rated guy, and also will give them a lot of open a lot of doors in Bolivia, and he's a very highly rated guy. Mm-hmm. But also they announced on Friday that they've given a seismic reprocessing contract for the acreage in Bolivia, which they have an option on, but they haven't bought it yet, but they've got an option on it. I suspect that will come through in due course. Mm-hmm. Took the opportunity to have a long chat with CEO, you know, Fiona Macaulay. Mm-hmm. On Friday, they're working very hard. There's a lot going on at Echo. The share price is beginning to pick up. Mm-hmm. I would expect that to happen quite a lot more. I think that those people who have been concerned over the summer months that things were going quiet and there were shares around, and they've got new advisors. They've got obviously they've got their new London advisors, Hannam, who are extremely good. They've got this guy in Bolivia. They're continuing to look for new opportunities. I wouldn't worry about things happening here. They're extremely busy, and I think things are going to happen sooner rather than later at Echo.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other news there, Mikey?
Yeah, two quick ones. SDX, I mean, I seem to mention this every week at the moment, because last week I mentioned it because I had the raise. But they've announced this morning that they've spudded the well in Morocco on the Sibu permit. Now, this is the first of a 9-well program, which will increase production and reserves quite substantially. They've said in today's announcement that this program should increase production by 50%, reserves by 100%, and that's pretty confident stuff. And an increase of production of 50% will mean that, you know, depending on what they need to do, there's no need for any further money raising, certainly till the end of next year. These wells are quite cheap. You get them all the way, you know, for the price, you get them plugged in all the way almost to your customer's access point. But more importantly, as they say, they're confident in this program in Morocco. And obviously, the Circle Oil acquisition is proving to be very good indeed. They're also continuing, they've announced today that they've got the operations in Egypt are very close to coming underway. They're expecting two wells there in the autumn, and getting stuck into the some more interesting stuff potentially after in the new year. So a lot going on there. Gas prices in Morocco are very high. This company raised a bit of money the other day through demand, and it was massively oversubscribed. They've picked up a few coppers since that raise. That quite a few coppers is quite a decent percentage raise. I think there's masses of upside in SDX.
Yeah, yeah. Well, do you know what? Echo Energy and SDX charts looking very similar, bouncing at the moment. They've obviously been drifting the share price, but Echo Energy at 8 pence seems to have some support, and also 44, 45 pence for SDX. So,
I think that what we've seen in the summer is with the oil price being a bit drifty and then picking up, no one quite sure about it and everything else, and there's been a general lethargy in the sector. I think the people are coming back now, you know, the Sounds, the Echoes, the SDXs, the Savannahs with potentially coming back from suspension, and a lot of other ones have seen excitement happening, even in things like Rock Opera and Premier. This is probably because with West Texas at 50 and Brent at 55, looking reasonably solid, rather than, I'm not saying it's going to run away, but reasonably solid. And I think that a bit of excitement is in the wind, and I think people are returning to the good quality plays.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
So
and
my final stock, just to mention, is one I mentioned last week, because Jersey Oil and Gas, as you know, fell dramatically this time last week when they announced, Statoil announced that the Verbier well was water wet. They'd always suggested they might do a sidetrack, but the market feeling was that they, you know, it wasn't worth doing, and therefore Statoil would walk away, and that would be the end of that. There was a lot of movement in the share price in the middle of last week, Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah.
And it seemed like the market knew something that nobody else did. I certainly didn't know. I had a long chat with Andrew Bennett, the CEO, this morning already. And what happened was that when they got the logs back on Tuesday night, spent Wednesday and Thursday looking at them, and Statoil, you know, they have to be credited with being so conscientious and indeed optimistic, because a lot of super majors would have walked away from this, have suddenly said that they think they might be able to see an accumulation of oil up dip from the Verbier well. Now, my view on this one, Justin, is simple as this. Statoil, you know, that while it's not an overly optimistic statement, they say that there might be a smaller accumulation up dip. Statoil would not waste time and money if they didn't have some optimism that it'd be something worth having a look at here. You see the share price of Jersey has picked up again today. Yeah. And if they were to find something here, it may not be quite as big as the, you know, 2.5 quid to 10 quid a share that some people like me were putting on it, but it would be certainly keep them very much in the game. And a lot of people believe that this block is more exciting than hitherto thought. So if for any reason this sidetrack did find anything, the game is no way over for these guys, and remains of significant interest.
Marvellous stuff. Well, comprehensive coverage there. We had Hurricane, Frontier, Echo, SDX and Jersey Oil and Gas, Malky, excellent stuff, and speak next week, fella.
Yeah, my pleasure.
OK, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are, at five, always there, most followed company of all time on Vox, Ascent Resources, AST. At four, it's been there a lot recently, Imperian Energy, EME, with major gas shows every other day, seems like an RS on that. At three, Kennedy Ventures, that's K-E-N-V. At two, Malky just covered them earlier, Frontera Resources, F-R-R. And number one, most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, Malky also covered them earlier, Jersey Oil and Gas, or JOG is the ticker there. Okay, top five most liked RNSs are as follows. Kennedy Ventures, K-E-N-V, investing company operation update. At four, Imperial Energy, EME, Dempsey Gas Well to flow test multiple zones. At three, Metal Tiger, appointment of NRG, that's Mod Resources Strategic Options. At two, Metal Tiger, Chemco PLC IPO update, delayed that. And number one, most liked RNS released via Vox this morning was from SDX Energy. That's SDX Spud of KSR14 Development Well in Morocco. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.